Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Well, this past season, Missouri did something they should have done a long time ago. They retired the jersey number 3 of one of their greatest players of all time, their all-time leading scorer, Derek Chivas, who joins us in studio now. Derek, great to be with you. How are you?
I am blessed. Thank you for having me.
Tell us, first of all, about why you're in town and what you've been doing lately.
Well, I've basically been reinventing myself. I have a guy. I just came back from Houston doing a speaking engagement and working with, I thought, 50 children, but it turned into 175 to 300 kids in Houston. Rising Stars, the great Ray Magruder, had me come out and share my testimony of life experience and how you can go from A to B all the way to C to D to be a better person and do great things in life and contribute to life. And I met some amazing people in Sealy, Texas, Houston, Texas, and I can't think of the other place they had me. But it was a blessing to actually, as I call it, pass the baton, give back.
You were drafted by the Rockets, so still some connections to the organization?
A lot of love from the actual people, but the new management, I have no idea who's over there. But I know John Lucas is over there. Because I actually was looking for Calvin Murphy, and Calvin Murphy, they said he doesn't do radio over there, which was kind of odd for me.
Hmm. 8-year professional career, but the Missouri career was just insane. Because, look, if somebody scores 20 points in a game nowadays, that's really good. You averaged 20 for your career. And you got there, too, as like a 16-year-old. Weren't you extremely young when you got to college?
Very much so. And when I got drafted, myself and Rex Chapman were the youngest guys in the league at the time, 20 and 21, respectively. So it was a learning process. But I had a great support system, and I was blessed to go to a team that had veterans. Akeem put me under his wing, the great Allen Level, and Mike Woodson. Gave me my first real nice suit, so I was blessed to have, and Sleepy Floyd, I had a great support system. And I didn't want to leave out Otis Thorpe, who actually helped me get my first apartment and show me the way. So nowadays you got guys who are your top players are 20, 23. I was blessed to have all-stars and veterans when I came in to kind of show me the ropes.
How about the decision to go to Mizzou? A kid from Queens, now Columbia, you live in that area now. It's changed a lot in the last 30 years. It's a little more cosmopolitan. There's a lot going on in Columbia that there wasn't 30 years ago. A kid from Queens shows up in mid-Missouri. What did you think?
Well, actually, I never got to Columbia. They brought me to, Dan Dierdorf's restaurant.
Oh. Here in St. Louis?
Yes, and I was with Bob Costas, Dan Dierdorf, and I was at his restaurant because I had never seen a state that big. And so before I even got to Columbia, I was thinking this was where the university was. You know, I seen the arch, and, you know, I had a family member
here.
Who lived here.
So you were at the downtown Dierdorf and Hart's location.
Yes, sir.
Costas and Dierdorf. And was Rich Daly a part of this?
Or? Of course.
Yeah. He was your guy, right?
He was the mastermind. He was the guy that basically could tell you gold was more valuable than what it really was.
So when did you realize you were in St. Louis and that the school was down the road?
I did not know that until I actually... they flew me in into this small airport, and I see all these Tigers there. I was like, well, man, where's the arch?
Where'd it go?
Yeah, where'd it go? He's like, no, this is for the university. I was like, you know, when you're on a flight, it's so quick.
Right.
Whereas if they would have had me drive to go out, I'd be like, man, I don't think I can make this.
You mentioned Olajuwon, because you were with him at probably the zenith of his career when he was at his absolute best. Mm. You saw Ewing, too. We always debate, like, after the big three, Russell, Kareem, and Wilt, would Olajuwon be the guy, or would it be Shaq? How good was Olajuwon at his best?
And this is what I try to tell players. Akeem was basically a 6'10 guard because of his soccer skills. His feet movement was impeccable. His hands were like mitts. So when I would see an African player who couldn't catch and didn't have footwork, it bothered me because I was like, all they do, they start off playing soccer. You have to protect, you have to slide. So they play, and cricket, he said he played. So his footwork was unreal. Hmm. And then his knowledge of the game was even better. Like, I remember going, talking to other players who I played with. They would tell me they're superstars in practice. Akeem would be in practice killing you. Then after practice, he would play you, and I would just sit there and study everything that he would do. And it was just an amazing thing. It's his footwork, and he had great hands, man. And he could run like he was chasing an animal, man. Just run for days. He would chase you down. If you go watch old film, he would chase guards down, and he would pluck under, or he would block shots from behind. You're like, man, how did he get there?
Wow.
Yeah.
A fierce competitor, but also he seemed to be a real sweet guy.
Very much so. I got a story I shared with someone when I was in Houston. He had a painting that was worth probably at the time $1.2 million, and I was his rookie for the West Coast trip. So he hands me this painting, and so we're playing against Golden State, and I have a real good game, so I'm like really happy. And so the painting, I left it on the plane. So when we're going to the carousel to get our stuff, he's saying, where's my painting? I was like, what painting? He was like, the painting that I gave you. He said, oh, man, I left it on a plane. So he looks at me. We're running through the airport like OJ was doing when he was working for Hertz. Get the painting. He puts it in the car, you know, and I ride with him. So he's telling me a story. He takes me to his house. And I had an art appreciation at Missouri. And he had a Monet or something. I'm saying the words wrong. And he said it was like $1.4 million, man. And I was like, man, thank God I went back and got this paper.
Why is he traveling with it? All right,
no, he had just purchased it.
Okay, on the road.
And then they brought it to him in Oakland.
Okay. Note to self, Akeem. Don't
never
let
give a rookie your
handle $1.4 million painting.
No, had a great game. I was like on cloud nine, like, yeah, let me get back. Yo, everybody going to be saying something about me.
In your time in the league, who would be the one guy that you just wouldn't want to have to defend out on the wing all alone?
That's easy. Rolando Blackman.
Really?
Rolando Blackman.
Great pure shooter from K-State.
Yeah, but I told people I prepared a lot because I watched film to see what their tendencies was and how I could make it more easy for me. He could fade. He could curl. He could shoot the mid-range. He could shoot the three. He just was very elusive. And then the thing I tell people, they allowed him to do it. They allowed him to push.
This is when he was in Dallas?
Yes, he was unguardable. And I remember him playing at Grady, which is in the Bronx, New York. So I knew of him. But to actually get on the floor and watch him do his thing, man, it was incredible, man. He was real difficult to defend. And he made free throws.
You mentioned New York. Did you play at Rucker and all those famous playgrounds growing up?
Yes, played at Rucker, played Soul on the Hole, played at the famous King Towers. And I just gave a hat to somebody, but I told a lady, I said, I can't give you this hat unless you tell me what West 4th Street is and who the person who started it. And she says, oh, I don't know. Just give me the hat. It's red. So she Googles it. Everything's Google now. She Googles it, gets it, tells me, oh, Kenny Graham, he was this. He started the Each One. Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's him. Here's your hat. So I remember before I came to Missouri in the summer, I was 16 and returned 17. And I played in West 4th Street, and I played in the Pro League. And God bless his soul, Mr. Graham was the guy on the mic. And I'm talking about I'm just playing extremely well. And he's like, this kid is going to be here next year. Y'all make sure you look. And lit it up. So when I actually got back and seen the guys that was running it, I didn't think anybody would know me. I was with my god sister. And he said, man, my man, yo, come here. I was like, yeah, how you doing, sir? He was like, yeah, you don't remember me. I said, no, sir. He said, I was the guy on the mic, man. Just I knew you was going to do some good things, man. And he gave me a whole bunch of West 4th hats and shirts. Now it's a brand. Before it was just you go and play and people would look in the cage and look at you. Now it's like some star-studded stuff. They got like bleachers in there now. So times has really changed, man. But the New York basketball culture, and I talked to Rod Strickland not too long ago, him and Kyrie Irving are trying to bring that culture back. No one stays in New York anymore. Everybody goes to prep school. So when you see these guys going to college, and you see, oh, he's from Kent, this, but originally from Bronx, New York. You're like, well, why are you not staying in New York?
Yeah.
And Greg Anthony's son was unreal, and he left New York, and he was at Molloy. So I was like, man, it must really, the culture of basketball in New York must not really exist anymore.
Derek Chivas, our guest, Missouri's all-time leading scorer, Martin and Frank on 590 The Fan. In the 88 draft, 16th overall to the Houston Rockets, how well do you remember that draft? They're obviously your contemporaries, and then sometimes the draft class, they get to know each other. First overall pick, this is the easy one, right? First overall to the Clippers.
Oh, Danny the Amazing.
Danny Manning. Do you remember number two? The 7-foot center.
Rick Schmitz.
Third out of Pittsburgh.
Charlie Smith.
Yep.
I talked to him probably a month ago. He's doing something in New York. Supposed to have lunch with him when I get back.
Number four, this one I didn't remember. The New Jersey Nets out of Auburn.
Chris Morris.
The fifth overall pick, another guy from the Big Eight.
Mitch Richmond, the Hammer.
That is right. I don't know how many.
Speaking of unguardable.
And then let's just go one more. Sixth pick overall, Clippers. From the Midwest.
Really?
From the Valley.
What college?
Bradley.
Oh, you're talking about Hershey Hawkins, but he got traded.
Yep, he Clippers from Sacramento, traded to Philly. Complicated, yeah.
Yeah.
But pretty low. Yeah, you mentioned Chapman in there, Ronnie Cycli. These are names, Frank, you could picture him playing like it was yesterday. Harvey Grant, Jeff Greer, Derek Chivas, number 16.
How do you remember Rex, by the way? I used to see him in college.
No, I got a story about Rex, too. God bless his soul. There was a guy named, what's my guy's name? Played at San Jose State, and he passed away. Oh, man.
Played in the league?
Yes, he did.
Out of San Jose State.
Played for Sacramento. Ricky Berry. I'm sorry. Rick, I should never forget you, brother. We had like a, when you went to the NBA symposium, there were a lot of guys that didn't kind of follow the rules, and they basically set you up. And they were the guys that got set up because I'm in the club, I'm going to go to the pros, and I'm this. But they were teaching you, like, these girls are going to kind of set you up. And they was like, yeah, I'm going to be the next this. And they would kind of do stuff. I said, my man, let me tell you something. Whenever you see a woman without a bag, she wants something from you, bro.
A woman without a bag.
Yeah. Why is a woman in a club with no bag? That means she looking for you to buy her something.
What's the Rex angle?
My mother told me
that.
Rex was the main guy in there telling him, yeah, man, I'm going to be the top draft pick. And we had just went over the information, him and Ricky Berry telling him, yeah, I'm going to be such and such, and I'm going to be. But these women were actresses.
Really?
Hold up. It gets funnier. So when we go back into the auditorium, they point them out. They see hey, man, that's the girl that was at the club last night. And so that was the lesson being seen.
Wow.
Watch what you do when you go out. Watch who you with. Watch how you carry yourself because you're basically representing the league. The NBA program is, to this day, has probably even gotten better with the information that they give these guys when they get into what to look for. It's like probably one of the best in the world.
All right, let's take a short time out. We have Derek Chivas for another segment here. This is Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 5 Night of the Fan. And if anybody is interested in going to Hollywood Casino, we recommend it. There's no better place to spend the weekend. All the rooms are brand new. Final Cut Steakhouse, all-you-can-eat buffet, 99 Hops House, Charlie Gito's. Hollywood Casino, a great place to spend the weekend. We'll be right back.